Good afternoon and welcome to Saturday with Cormac O'Hara. Today, will we get a government as members of Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil and the Greens get ready to vote for or against government? We dissect the deal on the table. It's a crucial weekend for the country. Join us in a moment. But first, the news read by Vivian Traynor.
Thanks, Cormac. Good afternoon. New figures from the Health Service Executive show that just 16 people with confirmed cases of COVID-19 remain in intensive care. That's down from a peak of 160 in early April. The figures also show there have been no admissions to ICU in the past 24 hours. Fergal O'Brien reports.
Businesses across the country are making preparations to reopen, many earlier than planned, after the government brought forward the easing of most COVID-19 restrictions to Monday, June 29th. It comes as the number of people in hospitals with the virus continues to fall. The latest HSE operational figures show that as of 8 p.m. last night, there were 42 patients being treated for the coronavirus. The Mater Hospital in Dublin accounted for the largest number at 10, while 16 hospitals had no confirmed cases. There were 168 suspected cases in hospitals. As of last night, there were 16 people receiving treatment in intensive care units, down from the peak of 160 in early April, while there were 8 suspected cases in ICU.
An infectious disease specialist says that continuing to restrict non-essential travel to Ireland and monitoring those who come here is critical. Professor Sam McConkie said that the pandemic is not over, and while life will resume in some areas, it is with some elements of change and social distancing. He also welcomed the accelerated reopening of the economy, saying it is happening at a time when the unexpected cases of the virus stands at around 1 in a million level in the community.
I'm comfortable with this idea. I think there is a time to get out and live, and now is the time. The numbers are telling me that the number of unexpected cases of COVID-19 or of SARS-2 virus is around the 1 in a million level in Ireland. And many of the numbers that we're seeing each day are known contacts of other cases, so they're not unexpected.
US President Donald Trump is due to hold his first major rally since COVID-19 pandemic outbreak later today. Joining him in Tulsa will be Vice President Mike Pence and up to a dozen other leading Republicans. Tulsa health officials have expressed concerns about conducting the rally in a large indoor arena while coronavirus cases in Oklahoma are on the rise. The city's top health official recommended postponing the rally, which is expected to attract a crowd of around 19,000 people. A senior New York prosecutor who is leading investigations into President Trump's personal lawyer, Rudy Giuliani, has insisted he has no intention of resigning, despite the Justice Department claiming he was stepping down. Jeffrey Berman said he would not go until a presidentially appointed nominee was confirmed by the U.S. Senate.
RTE Radio 1 weather with Centra. As we continue to move in the right direction, know that at Centra, we continue to look after our communities.
Dry and bright for a time in the east and north, but rain will gradually extend from the west across the country during the afternoon and evening. Some heavy downpours are expected, with some spot flooding likely. Becoming windy also, with strong southeast winds. Highest temperatures of 16 to 20 degrees. South to southeast gales on western and southwestern coasts will extend to remaining coasts of Ireland and to the Irish Sea this afternoon and evening. And that's all from the newsroom for now. Cormac.
Thank you very much indeed, Vivian Traynor. This weekend of political decision-making is crucial, without doubt, for the country, and it weighs heavily on members of Fianna Fáil, Fine Gael and the Green Party. I know that from talking to an awful lot of them. And especially if you believe Minister John Halligan, the outgoing Minister of State, when Fine Gael hates Fianna Fáil and Fianna Fáil hates Fine Gael and they both hate the Green Party. Now you know how it weighs so heavily on every single member who has to cast a vote, who reflect and consider the programme for government that's on the table. And they'll reflect and consider all of that this weekend, and they'll vote early next week. I have with me today Dara O'Brien of Fianna Fáil, Richard Bruton of Fine Gael and Minister for Communications, Action, Climate Action and the Environment. Eoin O'Brien is a Sinn Féin TD for Dublin Midwest and spokesperson on housing. Nyasa Hourigan is a Green Party spokesperson on finance and one of their negotiators. And Michael Fitzmaurice is an independent TD for Roscommon Galway. You're all very welcome to the programme. We also want to hear, of course, from members who are who'll have to vote on 51551 or Saturday at rte.ie. Can we start with just the combination of parties on the table? Isn't it true, Richard Bruton, that for the Greens, an awful lot of the members who'll be looking at the substance of this report, they will have a credibility problem with the Green with Fine Gael and their record on the environment over the last number of years, and with you, because you have been proposing a carbon emissions reduction of less than half of what's on the table right now, and what's more, you were saying that was the best achievable.
Well, I haven't been saying it's the best achievable. As you probably know, that when the EU Green Deal was introduced, we committed to stepping up our ambition over and above what's in the Climate Action Plan. But I think what the Green Party can have confidence in is both the Taoiseach, Leo Varadkar, and myself put in place new systems that will deliver. We will have a bill which will be legally binding on all of the ministers. We have an approach to, like the Action Plan for Jobs, setting out each quarter what has to be delivered. We will have an independent and strong committee in the Oireachtas, like the Public Accounts Committee, overseeing the activity of ministers to see that they meet their commitments. And I think we've sat down and discussed with the Green Party and with Fianna Fáil 16 very significant measures of change that we will implement over the course of the coming
years.
But
your target now is 7%. It was nowhere near it a number of weeks ago. The problem, Nyasa Hourigan, for you is that it's being backdated, isn't it? It's not going to happen. And it's an average of 7% per year. This carbon emissions reduction is being backdated, and you have a problem with that. Why?
Well, it is a worry. It does take time to build capacity to get to emissions reductions, but it is a worry to hear politicians like Simon Coveney and Leo Varadkar in the last few days tell their own membership that the reduction, the emissions reductions will be backloaded to the second half of the decade, and it won't be a major facet of this government. I do have a further concern, though. I am worried about how the climate wins in this document are being presented. Many of them are based on the Joint Committee on Climate Action, which happened last year and which was an all-party agreement. The draft scheme was published in January. In that contained, and this is, you know, in fairness to Deputy Bruton, it contained carbon budgets and sectoral targets. Mm-hmm. It contained the plan for the Climate Action Council, and it contained an agreement to reach net zero by 2050. It also it contained what's in this document and is being sold as big green wins. It contained 70% target for renewables. It's contained the target for heat pumps, and it contained the retrofit target of 500,000 homes.
So where's your problem?
Well, look, the climate wins are very, very important. And if we can achieve those, and if they aren't backloaded, as Fine Gael are implying that they will be, if they are year on year reductions, then we will be very happy. But the Green Party is not a pressure group. We're not a conduit for the wish lists of specific lobbyists. We believe in climate justice, and we want, you know, this kind of climate action to happen. Climate action to happen in a socially just way. And we don't have the luxury of kind of hiving off environmental action away from things like housing and away from things like social justice. And I think that's a concern that many of our members have.
Why do they have to be backloaded, Dara O'Brien?
Well, I think you have to build capacity. I think firstly to say, in relation to the climate aspects of this programme for government, it's the most significant that have ever been made. And I think if the rest of Europe looking at this draft programme for government and what's been agreed with regard to climate action, and other members of the Green Party, NASA's own colleagues, who've Catherine Martin, the Deputy Leader, Eamon Ryan, Oisin Smith, Joe O'Brien and others, you know, recognise the fact that there is really an important, very significant changes here. And we need to do it as a country. Like, this is, and as a society, we need to tackle climate change. And I think within this, like the retrofit programme, all of those various items, the 2-to-1 investment in public transport, which is really important, something that we firmly believe in Fianna Fáil as well. Obviously, as NASA has rightly said, you have to build capacity up. If you take, with regard to the retrofitting of homes, 500,000, that's badly needed and really needed. We've got to look at the skills.
How will you pay for that?
If I could conclude for a second.
No, but hang on, because we need detail, because it's not in the report. How are you going to pay for that?
Talk about detail. There's 125 pages of detail in this programme for government. It's the most detailed and
so tell me how you're going to repay for retrofitting.
And transformative programme for government that any government has published. So obviously what we're looking at, particularly in the start of this government, should it be agreed, is investment in these areas through borrowing. Most European states are going to do that too. Cormac, as you know, investing in infrastructure, investing in housing, and to drive the recovery forward and to bring the recovery forward. And that's actually what we need. And it's investment about building new public homes on public land, building affordable housing for working people, which is what Fianna Fáil have wanted and advocated for, and which I negotiated directly with NASA, and which we signed off on.
So no tax cuts or tax increases.
That's actually clearly stated there, Cormac. And what we're saying is we're going to invest in this recovery, and that's what will happen.
So what level of growth? If you're hoping to close the deficit through investment and growth, so what level of growth is required?
Put it this way,
then,
Cormac. Right now, 140 days after the general election, we've about 1 million people either out of work or whose jobs depend on the state subsidy. It's incumbent on us and all political parties to put a government together to get those people back to work and to save their own livelihoods. If you look at the hospitality,
this is a simple question, because
what I'm going to answer. Let me just ask it clearly.
Richard Bruton helped me here as well.
It's for the listeners.
So you go ahead. The problem here is, I think after 6 weeks, NASA Hourigan says of negotiating this, and she's the Green Party spokesperson, she doesn't understand how you're going to close the deficit. So you say you'll borrow and invest in the economy, and you hope that the growth rate will over time close the deficit of 30 billion or so. So what growth rate do you hope to achieve in 2021 in order for that to happen, and where is the expert opinion to show that that's possible?
Okay, firstly, in relation to people getting back to work, as people come back to work, that's obviously going to drive the growth rate and close the deficit gap as well. And that's got to be the absolute focus of this. So we're still in the middle of the COVID pandemic. Obviously, we got to work to try to get our economy back into growth. And that's the whole purpose of the July stimulus package for the SME sector, which within the first month of this government coming into being, that we again look at an SME recovery plan, to have a national recovery plan and investment in October.
This
is the thing, Cormac. Of course, we have a target. We have 1 million people out. Of 1 million people out of work,
Your putative colleague in government will tell us.
No, I can give you an answer to the question. Firstly, you asked about retrofits. We've set aside 3.7 billion in the National Development Plan, and in addition, we've earmarked 5 billion from the carbon tax proceeds to invest in retrofits.
Well, can I stop on it there for a second? Because this is crucial. You're hoping to change behaviour with the carbon tax, aren't you?
Correct.
If it works, you won't have that money.
We will have that money. We're investing it into retrofitting. We're investing it into just transition.
That's if you get the money. But if you impose a carbon tax on people, for example, I get the point you're making.
So but the reality is that the transformation from, say, the electrification of our motor fleet is going to take time. By 2025, we reckon we'll have 180,000 out of close to 3 million vehicles will be electric. By the end of the decade, we'll have got up to 1 million, a third. So there will be plenty of revenue coming from this.
So the retrofitting won't happen until then.
Let me answer the other question then.
Is that correct, the key to rebuilding this economy? If you don't have the revenue stream, the retrofitting won't happen until then. Is that right?
No, we have 3.7 billion set aside in the National Development Plan, and that will represent a dramatic ramp up. But I also want to ask the question about how we're going to drive the carbon tax,
because the version of the carbon tax that we've ended up with is largely the one that Fine Gael had in their general election manifesto. So it sets out that over the 10 years you're going to get 9.5 billion, 3 billion of that will go to social welfare and just transition, 5 billion will go to retrofit, and 1.5 billion will go to a REP scheme for farms. Now, the reality is that if a tax works, that fund is going to dwindle, right? And it's relying on the idea that there are a huge swathe of people in Ireland, because of the way we've planned our country and because of the previous government decisions, that are experiencing carbon lock-in. They won't be able to change fast enough. It's a deeply regressive tax unless you're going to instigate a fee and dividend model. And, you know, what we'll be doing is, you know, paying for people's solar panels on their, you know, semi-detached house in Dublin off the back of, you know, taxing rural pensioners into fuel poverty.
This is what you negotiated. That's not true. Look at last year's carbon tax and what happened. We increased the fuel subsidy and we doubled the amount of money going into warmer homes, which is a 100% subsidy to upgrade the homes of people who are long-term on pensions. That's what we put use the money to. That is making people more fuel resilient, less fuel poverty through
those. Where's the dividend?
The dividend is in people saving maybe €1,500 in the cost of heating their home, particularly people on low income. That's a huge dividend.
It's a terribly difficult thing to do, to make a link between a climate or an environmental tax and an environmental action. That is not something that the Green Party should be doing, because, you know, climate action is nation building. It's like homing people. It's like, you know, putting in place transport. That's something that the government of the day should be doing. And the idea that you're going to link it to a specific fund is an incredibly dangerous thing to do. And it's not something that we should be supporting, particularly when it's going to impact people and cause hardship to probably the most vulnerable groups. And I just want to come back on the idea that I negotiate that could not be agreed in my strand, and it was pushed up to leaders.
Well, just on the housing side, if I could say, because that's what I was referring to, housing was negotiated amongst the negotiators, myself included, NASA, and that wasn't passed up to the leaders group. That was signed off at plenary, and I welcome that, because there's a lot of really significant measures with regard to housing, establishment of an affordable purchase scheme, cost rental, a new deal for renters, building public housing on public land. And look, every programme for government requires compromise, and there were compromises on all sides. But on housing, I think we've struck a really positive balance in relation to showing some hope for people that they're going to be able to own their own home, that we're going to be able to end homelessness. And that was signed off by myself and NASA and by Fine Gael as well.
Okay, we'll come back to housing a little bit more. But can I talk to Michael Fitzmaurice in Athlone? You're an independent TD, you're rural, from a rural constituency, and an awful lot of analysts say that rural dwellers and citizens fear green policies, especially things like the carbon tax. Are you fearing what you're hearing, Michael?
Well, first of all, if you listen to the last 5 or 10 minutes, it is very clear that there is totally different opinions, even on what was agreed. If you listen to Nessa there and Richard, and you know, to listen about even the carbon tax and the regressive models. First of all, this document is sort of nearly like there's a mention of everything for one for everyone in the audience, but there's no detail. It has been unravelling over the last few days between the Greens and the different parties. We don't know, for example, today, are we going to get an M20 or are we going to get a Galway Outer Bypass? Is there a formula where it's being used? Under agriculture, yes, everyone is talking about the $1.5 billion that's going to be brought in from the carbon side of it. But it's going to cost more than that to do a proper REP scheme. Where is the rest of the money coming from? Where is the manifesto that Fine Gael and Fianna Fáil went to the people with in rural Ireland, where they said that they were going to give €200 to the suckler cow? There is absolutely no mention of it. And if you look at the, say, transport side of it, you know, the carbon tax is going to have a massive implications for the people in rural areas.
Explain that to me.
Well, first of all, as Nessa rightly pointed out, someone in Dublin can get the grant where you have gas, first of all. Second of all, where you have Lewis and you have the different forms of transport, they can get the grant to put a solar panel on their roof or whatever. But someone in rural Ireland is going to pay this tax for the simple reason. We don't have a choice if you live in Roscommon or Galway or whatever part of rural Ireland, Donegal, to where you work. We may have to go 30, 40 miles every day or 50 miles. There isn't the bus service. Let's not cut ourselves that it's going to be there.
Some analysts say that to fill your tank up with petrol or diesel, that with a carbon tax it may cost €20 more. I don't know if that's true or not, but are you saying that people in, if you're going from Williamstown in your constituency, Michael, to Kinvara in South Galway, that you will have to use your car and you'll be punished for it through carbon tax? Is that your point?
I guarantee you there is no other way of going there at the moment if you want to go from them two areas that you mentioned. And you have to fill your car with something. And look at the agricultural sector. We are talking about trying to help the farmers. And if you look at the document, it says we're nearly going to help everyone. And so say all of us nearly like the song. But when you drill down, what is to the contractors, 90% of all work done, what will the carbon tax account for in that? It will cripple the whole agricultural sector. And Cormac, there is if you look at Ireland at the moment, and I'm just baffled. Last week we saw a decision where, you know, Milpeat had to be stopped by Bord na Mona, where they were promised the divil and all over the last few years. At the same time, under this agreement, they have said they're going to go offshore with wind. At the same time, on Bord Pleanála, in the middle of a bog in outside Longford or outside Lanesborough, gave planning, where we're going to put 27 kilometres of roads in, dig out more bog than what Bord na Mona would have milled all year. And we're living in a country today, and listen to this very clearly, that from Estonia and Latvia, we're bringing in milled peat for the horticultural sector that's being exported to England again, and we are living beside the aisle well of the mill peat, and we cannot do it because of environmental rules.
Let me go to Owen O'Brien. I'll come back to you in just a moment, Michael, but an awful lot of people arguing the ins and outs of this, Owen O'Brien, but is it not the best, obviously the best deal on the table to provide stability for the country as we're heading into a recession and possibly a no-deal Brexit?
Absolutely not. And in fact, we've already seen over the last 2 days significant disagreements between the parties involved in this document. Look, the document has two central problems. I mean, the first is notwithstanding everything that people have said so far, Fine Gael are the big winners here in terms of policy. If you take a lot of the big climate targets on retrofitting, it's Fine Gael's manifesto that's reflected, not the Green Party's. If you look at, for example, renewable energies, again, it's Fine Gael's manifesto, not the Greens. And in fact, the only really significant win I can see in transport is cycling and pedestrian infrastructure. The Green Party made a big play, for example, over the review of the National Development Plan and Planning Framework to reduce the number of roads projects. But you can see very, very clearly in that section of the manifesto that the review of the NDP and MPF doesn't in any way undermine any of the existing projects. The second big problem is, and Dara and Richard avoided dealing with it earlier, is the issue of deficit reduction. So what we're being proposed or given here is a short fiscal stimulus over 2 to 3 years. The Irish Fiscal Advisory Council has made it very clear that even if that works, there'll be a 10 billion euro deficit come 2023, and that can only be dealt with either by tax increases or by cuts to public services. Now, hidden in the text of this document is a very significant tax break for self-employed people who are earning over 100,000 euros, plus another significant tax cut through the indexation of tax bands. That means that if those things are introduced, say 2023, there's not only going to be a 10 billion euro deficit, but there's going to be 400 to 500 million less in tax revenue. And unless you're going to start raising taxes, which this programme explicitly rules out, there's going to be cuts to services, and that means austerity.
So let me put that point to Dara O'Brien.
But let me finish this. Fine Gael are not only framing the environmental policy on housing, on health, on childcare. It's all a continuation of the same. It's not the change that people voted for, and we could and we should do much, much better.
I'm sure they'd contest that. But Dara O'Brien, can you clarify that there's a tax cut for those earning 100,000 or more in this programme for government?
No, like, this is a programme for government. It's not a budget.
Page 24, yeah, Dara. Sorry, you should read the programme.
Sorry, I've read the programme. And what I'm saying to you is, this programme for government is transformative. It's ambitious, radical, but most importantly, it's actually deliverable. And it's, in fairness, it's the only published draft that's there. Owen talks about what's not in it, and from his view, and I can tell you on housing that there's core Fianna Fáil policy central to it.
I'm wondering since February the 8th,
we've been negotiating both the Greens, Fine Gael, and ourselves in Fianna Fáil to try to put an alternative, to put a programme together that's going to lead Ireland to recovery.
Is there a tax cut, Dara, for those earning over 100,000? No, I'm on page 24. Tell me before I read it.
Cormac, we're not setting budgetary policy out here in this document. And if anyone wants to pick lines out of the programme, that is fine.
The answer to my point is that
there's been no alternative put forward by Sinn Féin, or by the left, Cormac. And this is important. What have Sinn Féin brought forward since February the 8th? What has the Alternative Left Alliance brought forward? We see Thomas Pringle on Twitter saying that they're going to produce an alternative programme for government that's costed. I haven't seen anything.
Okay.
I've seen no document.
Cormac, can I come in there one second?
First of all,
in the line of an alternative, Marion Harker, Mike McNamara and myself put a comprehensive document to both parties together. We also met the Greens as well. And it's actually baffling when you read the programme for government that they talk about the Western Rail Corridor and that they're waiting on a decision. And yesterday evening, we had a different decision from a different different grouping that stated that the Western Rail Corridor was going to be a greenway. On top of that, when you look at agriculture, we talk about small farmers in peaty ground where they are talking about getting rid of the cap for them because it's free drain land, it's drained land or shored land. But at the same time, and if I were a Green, I'd be stunned at this, that there's an elite amount of farmers, 15,000, that get a special derogation to go above the nitrates, and we're going to, the wording on it, work with them. That's what they're going to do, but cripple the small farmer in rural Ireland.
Okay, so you're saying it's too unclear. Can I ask you specifically, Nasa Hourigan, because you are the finance spokesperson for the Green Party, and you were involved in these negotiations. And one of the reasons, I think, one of the primary reasons you're rejecting this deal is that you feel it could be one of the most fiscally conservative programmes in a generation. Am I right there?
During our party convention on this issue, I made a speech that did include that sentence. It's just, look, you're right. I sat in rooms for 5 weeks and argued this. And anyone who sat in those rooms with me can attest to the fact that I argued long and hard around this issue, is that I just don't understand why facing into, and I really hope people understand this, the deepest and one of the most serious recessions we're ever going to face, with Brexit coming up, you know, in the rearview mirror, and very likely to be a no deal Brexit. And we haven't factored that into any of the current models that we're working to. How we can commit...
Sorry, you haven't.
No, the numbers that the SPU published a few weeks ago and that we're dealing with, that does not include a no-deal hard Brexit.
Is that true, Minister?
That's correct, yeah. They've posited on the basis of a trade deal being negotiated.
So what if you don't get... What if you don't get
the
stimulus from what if you don't get the payback, the growth rate from the stimulus?
I'll tell you exactly what we're going to do. We've committed in this programme for government to invest in state investment. We're going to ramp up our state investment in projects like the National Broadband Plan, the Land Development Agency, renewables, both onshore and offshore, energy efficiency, which we've just been discussing, digitisation of our economy, increase in skills.
Sorry, can I come
we
in
are
there?
Going to increase investment. On top of that, we've putting in place a recovery fund, which will look specifically at the businesses who are now under pressure. Look at how we can support those sectors to make sure that viable businesses come out of this intact. I remember exactly when I was in back in 2012 and I was putting forward the action plan for jobs that would deliver 100,000 jobs. And people like you in the studios and political opponents said this could not be done. It was done. We delivered not just 100,000 jobs, but 500,000 jobs. It wasn't yourself, but many commentators did.
I
can tell you that if we put in place a strategy that is in this programme for government, we will rebuild employment, we'll bring people back to work. That's the most important priority at the moment.
Let me ask you this.
But we will also transform this society for the carbon and climate challenge.
The crux of it is this, isn't it? You were putting forward this document, and I didn't realise until now, I don't know about the Green members, I didn't realise until now that there was absolutely no contingency whatsoever for a no-deal Brexit here. And you are telling people that you're going to get a growth rate based on your stimulus.
Look, the reality was our 2020 budget was based on no deal coming out of Brexit. And that's how we were able to put ourselves in a strong fiscal position to now invest. We have the confidence of people who lend to us. We can invest in capital. We can invest in a recovery fund. But of course, at a certain point when growth recovers, as the programme says, we will have to make sure that we balance our books in the sense that taxation meets our day-to-day spending.
What does that mean?
Cormac.
That means the so-called, it's the golden rule. Any economist will tell you that you fund your day-to-day spending from your tax, but you can invest, and you invest particularly now there's a need for the state to be investing.
But hang on, that's quite simply what you're saying is if the stimulus doesn't work and we're facing a no-deal Brexit, which is possibly more likely after Mr. Gove's announcement last week, that we may have to increase taxes.
Not taxes on income, and that's what the programme says.
That's a different thing.
But that's what the programme says. We did not say...
The consequences cost to public services.
It is very clear that we are not going to put taxes on work. USC, an income tax, would be a tax on work. We're trying to create more work for people.
What about PRSI?
We have
is that exempt?
The programme
exempt.
Programme says very clearly
so
that there will be increases in PRSI.
What about rates? Is that exempt?
There's no statement other than about income tax and USC.
What
and
about
the reason,
VAT?
And the
what
reason
about VAT,
for that,
which everyone
and
pays, the reason, is that exempt?
There is only one statement. You read the programme. You should have read it already at this stage.
It's not exempt. Hang on.
This is very clear. There are just two taxes which we said we will not be raising, and that is taxes on income, either USC or income tax.
So you are telling me now.
That is because we cannot afford to be taxing work. We need to create job opportunities for people. We need to support businesses through this.
Is that, NASA, why you were worried? Because it seems from what Richard Bruton is saying, the PRSI, rates, VAT, carbon tax, property tax, they're all up to be increased, are they?
No, to be honest with you, it's not about whether we would expand the tax base. It's the kind of arbitrary idea that we would agree to absolutely no income taxes right before a massive recession. It just, to me, the idea that we're going to commit to year on year, that's what it says, year on year deficit reduction, no tax increases on income tax. We know, like an increase in VAT, for example, that hits everybody. We should be trying to, you know, create a tax system that the people who are able to pay. And we've also committed to tax breaks for middle and higher income earners. And on the other hand, we've got, you know, people who negotiated saying, well, we're going to invest in this big long list of aspirational things and we're going to protect basic services. But the reality is there's no magic money here. There's no magic kind of European money. That's what I was coming to. So this magic 750 billion from the EU that apparently we're getting. Look, we're the sixth most dynamic country in the EU. We're likely going to get about 0.4% of that. And that equates to about 3 billion. We spent billions in the last few months just keeping our heads above water.
Absolutely.
The idea that there is magic EU money going to come and bail us out is not viable. And the reality is that when you commit to year-on-year deficit reduction, that means you're not going to go off and borrow loads of money.
Dara O'Brien.
Of course, there's a point. We have to be fiscally responsible. There's no question about that. There will be an EU stimulus package, and we've stated it very clearly that we will be borrowing to invest in infrastructure and to invest in jobs, invest in housing. Right now, and I just remind people, 140 days since the general election, we have small businesses who will just be opening up next week, some of them struggling right now. Mm. Employers, our indigenous sector, all across the country, urban and rural, that are looking for leadership and guidance here. And I'm absolutely confident that within this, with the approach being taken to work with the SME sector, to invest in businesses, to keep the employee wage subsidy supports that are there, to look to push them out for the rest of the year as well, that we can get people back working.
To be fiscally responsible, Dara, they may have to pay more rates.
Hey, look, what we're looking at right now is we've had a three-month rates moratorium effectively. I would expect that to be extended out further, actually, to be fair. And I think there has been some very significant measures taken initially. So look, I suppose when you're looking at this document, I would ask listeners to ask themselves the question, look, where is the alternative to it? This is a compromise document that is very radical.
You made that point.
Well, no one's given me an answer though, Cormac.
Okay, I'm going to go to Ono Brin before the break.
I
really
need to
take a quick break. Ono Brin, briefly.
Well, two things. First of all, when Sinn Féin proposed an increase on PRSI for high earners during the election campaign, Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael rejected it. Fianna Fáil said it was one of the reasons why they wouldn't even talk to us. Yet this document proposes PRSI increases for all workers and all employees. So what you're going to see is exactly the kind of
improvements.
Exactly, and I'll come to that now, Dara. All of the kinds of taxes that you outlined, Cormac, are going to hit ordinary working people hard. And Dara didn't answer the question about whether there's a tax cut for high earners. The answer is there is. And if you won't give a straight, honest answer to that question, why should we believe anything he says?
Okay, look.
Here's the alternative, because I've been asked.
No, I'll come to the alternative later on if you don't mind. Let's hear from some listeners. 51551. Does NASA Hourigan support the carbon tax or not? It's at the core of Green Party policy. I think you've answered it's not the type of carbon tax you want.
I absolutely support a socially just carbon tax.
Derek Mooney says, does Dara realise that the transformative transport projects he talks about have already been announced? Examples include Bus Connects Dublin and Galway
delivered,
and Limerick.
And many of them, they haven't been delivered.
Mary
and
says,
in Dublin will know
and
that
Dara,
too.
I'm a
Dara
pensioner.
Many of those projects.
Didn't actually.
Let's listen
wrong,
to Mary, who's a listener. I'm a pensioner, she says, and every gas bill I get, there is 14 to 16 euro in carbon tax. Please ask, am I going to pay more? Shame on Fianna Fáil for ever bringing it in. They should tax the polluters, she says. Look, we're going to come back to that one maybe if we can. We'll address housing as well, because it was a huge issue during the election campaign weeks ago. 51551.
Saturday with Cormac O'Hara on RTE Radio 1.
I'm with Dara O'Brien of Fianna Fáil, Richard Bruton of Fine Gael, Ono Brenya of Sinn Féin, Neasa Hourigan of the Green Party and Michael Fitzmaurice, who's an independent TD. We're discussing the programme for government that's on the table, agreed by Fine Gael, Fianna Fáil and the Green Party, which they are reflecting on their members and they'll vote on very early next week. Can I ask you, Richard Bruton, about housing initially? I know Dara O'Brien is the Fianna Fáil spokesperson on housing. How did we end up with a target of 50,000 social houses in this programme for government, which is less than what Fine Gael were proposing, 60,000 in the manifesto? How did you go backwards?
Well, obviously, we've been ramping up housing, social housing supplies. So we reached 10,000 last year, having doubled the social housing provision. Now, clearly, the COVID-19 has had an impact on housing, but we need to deliver that 10,000 every year for the coming years.
And the overall
and we also need to, you know, ramp up our overall housing completions. Mm. In the last, you know, since 2016, we trebled housing completions, but still only 21,000.
So who convinced you to go backwards from 60,000 social houses as a target?
10,000 a year is what we need to deliver at a minimum.
60,000 in your manifesto.
Well, obviously, we didn't bank on 2020 being a year in which housing output has been very seriously impacted. There's no doubt about that. It's been a difficult year. But we believe we can get that back on track. But most important, we now will have the Land Development Agency driving affordable housing. And that's where a lot of affordable housing, affordable rent, that's where the big problem has been. And we need to drive that
and
Land Development
define
Agency.
Define affordable for me?
Affordable housing, well, there's a range of programmes. There's affordable rental is cost purchase, cost rental, and it's based on the cost of production.
How much is an affordable house in Dublin?
Well, affordable house in Dublin, they're around the 300 is the figure that is being used in the schemes, but the somewhere over that. But I suppose the key, the key to the affordable
house in the city centre was a bit more than that, wasn't it?
The key to those, the key is this, they're is that 40%, up to 40% can be funded by the local authority, and there can be effectively a site subsidy used so that people are only paying the construction cost. So that's how affordability can be delivered.
Dara O'Brien, yes. You spent the last two or three years telling voters and listeners that if you got into government, you would do differently to Fine Gael because you would deliver.
Yes.
Now, I didn't expect you to deliver 10,000 less of a target for social housing.
No, I think if you read the document, you'll see it's at least it's 50,000, and it also with with an emphasis on new builds, and that's something that we debated. NASA will remember this well, and we negotiated. That's not the only ambition within it. There is a reality, like housing builds this year, unfortunately, due to COVID, and completions will drop below 14,000. So that's a reality in the construction sector. We've got to see what the output is like and how that is actually affected due to the new measures being taken with COVID.
So
that aside, though,
why is the target only 10,000 next year? Why not ramp it up to 15?
I would intend that we would. And what I would say to you is we've got to see what the floor is. This year is important. We could pull a figure out of the air, but we want to be honest with people. And that's really, if we're looking at a minimum of 10,000 per annum, deliver 50,000. One important line after that is the emphasis on new builds, not on acquisitions, not on turnkeys, on new builds. And then coupled with that is delivery of large affordable housing, both for purchase and for cost rental on state-owned land. And I wanted to answer your question that you asked, Richard, to be fair. There will be a new affordable purchase scheme, will be rolled out within the first 3 months. We will be looking at affordable purchase between about 160 and 230,000 with a shared equity basis, with the state taking an equity in that, with an expansion of Part 5 as well. So there are many delivery models that
and
we can do.
What type of salary levels do we have to have before we're eligible?
Sorry, say that again, Cormac.
If I want an affordable house, what level of salary do I have to have for me to be eligible for that scheme?
The 2009 Act that this is governed under actually doesn't set a salary cap on it. I think at the moment one of the issues has been with some of the schemes is that the cap for a couple was 75,000, and in many areas for two people, the nurse and the guard, to use that example as well, they would be above it. So those levels will be looked at. They're not set down in law, and think the salary level would be what we want is affordability in the market to deliver affordable homes at scale. We've negotiated it before, but we can deliver thousands on this, and people need this, and they need to get out of the rip-off rental market.
There's a referendum promised, all right?
Yes,
but it's a referendum on housing, not a right to housing. What does that mean?
Well, no, it's actually the referendum has been committed to by the three leaders, and we're looking at the wording of what that would be. If you look at what they've done in Scotland with a legislative right to housing, if you look at Finland, it does have an impact, and we've got to actually work on, and has a positive impact in countries that have done it. So the wording has to be produced.
So would you be against a referendum where people have a right to housing?
No, absolutely not. I've met, absolutely not.
No.
And I think that's important, and that's important in tackling homelessness and in actually ensuring that people don't fall into homelessness.
Why
and
isn't that's that in the
well it's actually the Commission for Housing is going to cover that, and that has gone right to the leaders, and we will be moving on that. The three parties have agreed that, Cormac.
You told
and
Owen Murphy in 2018 the time for commissions is over, it's time for action.
Yeah, sorry, we've negotiated an agreement between the three parties that is the most comprehensive programme for government ever published. Within that, to answer your question once again, there is a commitment for a referendum on the right to housing. I would support that, and I do support it. There are firm measures that will be put in place to put home ownership back at the centre of and to allow people to get to own an affordable home or to rent an affordable home, things that other parties have opposed. And they're very significant, and we will deliver them at scale and deliver them quickly. And this, there's other elements around construction defects, the implementation of the Safest Houses report, which the Joint Oireachtas Committee did, with extension of the Pyrite scheme, the MICA scheme as well. Which, so it's very, very detailed and significant.
Let me appoint you, Dara, the next Minister for Housing, right? Before I come to Owen O'Brien.
Thanks very much for that.
You're welcome. Are you going to stop families from being evicted if the rent goes up or if the landlord decides to sell?
I think we've got to do as an emergency measure now is actually firstly to extend the pause on evictions due to the COVID measures. What we've also got to do is to ensure there's no further rent increases. What we've said in this document as well is that we will bring in leases of indefinite duration, strengthen tenants' rights within it, but get the state involved, like building more public homes in a cost rental scheme where people can actually rent homes at a reasonable level all across this country. We don't have any affordable rental or cost rental stock at the moment, new stock, and we need to get that moving. Okay, and that's been something that NASA has argued for, and rightly so, and I agree with her.
And you say, Owen O'Brien, there's nothing in this for renters.
Yeah, so the interesting thing is if you compare this section of the draft manifesto to the 2016 programme, they're almost identical. Almost all of the promises that Dara has just outlined were made in 2016 and haven't been delivered. And let me just go through the four areas that Dara addressed. First of all, it's deeply disappointing that the target for social housing is nowhere above the already agreed national development plan.
And that means more than that.
That means, well, the commitment in the programme is 10,000 a year. That means that the housing crisis for people in emergency accommodation and on local authority waiting lists will increase. What's also deeply disappointing is there is no detail on the affordable housing in terms of the numbers of units, the delivery mechanisms in terms of substantive detail. And let me answer the questions that both Dara and Richard refused to answer, because we know what affordable rental and affordable purchase is according to the schemes that are outlined in this draft, because there are two of them already on site in Dublin. O'Devany Gardens, which is using the equity model that both Dara and Richard outlined, the houses there are sold for 310,000, but the purchaser also has to pay the state back another 40,000 afterwards. So that's 360,000. The Land Development Agency are involved in cost rental scheme in Dunleary Down, and the rents there will be at a minimum for a small one or two bedroom apartment, 1,300 euros a month.
Yes.
Neither of those are affordable. On renters, there is no proposal in this that will guarantee tenancies of indefinite duration, because both Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael are committed to continuing the rights of landlords, for example, to issue a notice to quit for vacant possession or family use. And on the right to housing, let's be very clear. I understand that on a number of occasions in the negotiations, there was attempts by Green Party negotiators to put the words right to housing in this section, and Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael refused to allow
that
to happen. So if Dara is
saying... Do you know if that's true,
Nasser? If Dara is saying there was a right to... he's committed to a right to housing, this document should say it. It doesn't. And that suggests it's more of Fianna Fáil's dishonesty.
Not true.
Hang on.
The original line that we went in with was the right to housing. I'm not sure
what happened
after that. Yeah.
But and can I say this, though? You see, and here's the problem, right? For 4 years, Fianna Fáil have been talking out of both sides of their mouth on housing, promising the sun, the moon and the stars, but facilitating Fine Gael policy. And again, I go back to the fact that if Dara couldn't give a straight answer about the 3% tax cut for high earners, why should anybody believe a Fianna Fáil spokesperson?
Couldn't we say the same about Sinn Féin?
We haven't got the same thing about Sinn Féin, and their alternative is on this. No, in fact, I've published and circulated to every local authority and housing body in the state a very, very detailed, fully costed, worked out proposal for getting affordable rental in Dublin for 700 to 900 euros a month for a two bed. And just let me finish, an affordable purchase for 230 or less. The Land Development Agency will not deliver those kinds of prices.
Which Sinn Féin voted against in the Dáil, voted against affordable purchases.
We have never voted against a credible scheme. We voted against badly drafted Fianna Fáil motions that have no value.
Five one double five one introduce this level of carbon tax countrywide, and this government will fall quickly. A carbon tax only for Dublin or any city with alternative transports, is that texter. James in Tipp says, Cormac, forget this retrofit. It's only the Wealthy Superhomes Ireland scheme was a 50% grant if you were spending 90 or 100,000. So customer had to come up with 45 to 50,000 euro. All money gets taken up by people who could well afford not to have the grant, says James. And one more texter before the break says, oh my God, Cormac, I think I'll take to me bed after hearing this. If this is what they're like before a government is formed, what will they be like when they're in bed together for years? God help us. Michael.
Yeah, first of all, I'm sick of the BS of everyone having an opinion on housing and we're not looking at the real issues. At the moment, this government has cut 100 million off the Irish water budget. And before you build a house, you have to put roads in, sewers in and water. You have to do that 3 to 4 years ahead before you build a house. And there is absolutely no planning going into that, no reference whatsoever in the programme for government. And all it is everyone sort of, you know, trying to play to the audience and talking about houses. Okay. If you're having the infrastructure in, don't be talking BS about building houses.
Look, we'll talk next after the very quick break about something that's going to affect hundreds of thousands of workers throughout the country.
Saturday with Cormac O'Hara on RTE Radio 1.
You're welcome back to the programme. I need clarity on this one, and I think I'll start with Richard Rutan, if you don't mind. Because in the agreement, the programme for government, draft programme for government, there is a commitment to a new public pay deal in when this one runs out in October, correct?
Correct.
Are you proposing that the essential workers like nurses and doctors and firefighters and so on, that were so essential over the last pandemic period and still are, will they get an increase?
There's no proposal. There's a proposal to sit down and negotiate. Obviously, negotiation has two sides. One side will be the government and the other side will be the trade unions. But you don't put into a programme for government the outcome of such a negotiation. But there will be such a negotiation. But it says it will be done at the against the backdrop of the economic realities. I mean,
we have
1.2 million people who are presently who are working, you know, were working and now are dependent on the state.
But you're expecting growth from the stimulus that you were talking about earlier on.
Well, undoubtedly, there will be growth coming from the investments we make. But let's not forget, there's a lot of people who are, you know, very, very cautious. They're not spending, they're saving. There's a lot of businesses looking at, you know, the questionable profitability of their business. This is a time when the state has to step up and make big investments.
Why did you and government yesterday agree to an 8,000 increase for councillors throughout the country?
I think this has been the basis of contention for many, many years, where to have councillors, they should be linked to some pay grade in the public service. They haven't been in the past. They've had expenses that haven't been properly vouched. So the proposal coming forward, and it has to be, it's just been published, it hasn't yet been agreed by government, but the proposal coming forward is that they would be linked to a position, a grade in the public service, and that would be the way it should be for the future, because they do play a very important role.
There are stories today that it was agreed yesterday by Camilla.
It was agreed to publish the report.
So it's not agreed.
Well, it's not agreed, but it's published. But what they set out is a reasonable approach that councillors, much like other public servants, should be linked to a grade rather than, so that whenever there's, negotiations, they don't have to have separate negotiations.
I have a problem here, Dara O'Brien. I don't know if you're in tune with your colleague, your putative colleague, Richard Bruton, because When we were talking earlier on about the necessity for tax increases or spending cuts, the line was that, hang on, we're investing a stimulus and we'll get a growth rate. Now when we're talking about pay increases for guards and for nurses and so on with the new public pay deal in October, we're saying, hang on, there's an awful lot of people losing their business. Which is it?
Well, I think that's two things. That's why it's important to have a government in place that you can put the economic stimulus in, that you can support businesses and support jobs and grow them again. I think there's a commitment here to negotiate a new public pay deal. That's right, and that should be done. We've seen the value of our public service. I've been an ardent supporter of them, but I think our public has seen it acutely over the last number of months with the COVID crisis. Our nurses, our guards, our frontline workers, our firefighters, all of the work that's been done then, and our public transport workers, you see that, and the importance of it. So there's a firm commitment here to sit down with our partners and to negotiate
a new pay deal.
If we had the money there, absolutely they do, and I think that, but we won't negotiate over the airwaves. I think what this commitment is that we sit down and negotiate a new pay deal in the interest of stability and recognising and valuing the work that our public sector all across the country do, and they do magnificent work there, and I think it's only right and proper that it's there, like other aspects within a bit, protecting core social welfare where rates, you know, we've a big job of work to do here. This isn't going to be easy. But if anyone's saying that the next 3-4 years are going to be, of course they're not. But what the public deserve is they deserve a government. They want a government in place that's going to be able to lead and is going to be able to drive the recovery forward.
The grassroots movement in Fianna Fáil against this deal called Fair Future.
I know them, yeah.
One of the key reasons they're voting against this deal, they say, is because the likes of public servants can't afford a house. It's because, they say, they find the guard and the nurse and so on who are in the household, two salaries, can't pay the bills.
And that's what we want to fix. And that's why I've outlined very clearly.
They say the
housing section of the programme for government about delivering affordable homes for working people. We have a democratic party. We'll have up to 20,000 people who will vote in the programme for government. I've had many, many members and our councillors across the country. I've been involved in consulting with them who are supporting this programme. In the interest of the country is, like, really what we're asking. We had a general election on the 8th of February. It threw up a result. We've got to respect that result there, and we've got to work with that result and put the best programme we can together.
If you went to government, Darren, will this obliterate Fianna Fáil?
Absolutely
not. Will it eviscerate Fianna Fáil as a party?
No, absolutely not. I think only 12 months ago, we're the largest party in local government. We're the largest party in the Dáil and indeed in the Shannon. And there will be challenges.
40% now.
And Cormac, we had a poll on the 8th of February where people actually voted, okay? We had a poll 12 months ago where we increased, again, our support at local level, increased our number of MEPs. But our job has always been to be in government to deliver change for the people. That's why we're in politics.
We've heard from Leo Varadkar on the possibility, mooted by Catherine Martin, of renegotiating, reviewing the programme midstream when there's a rotation in Taoiseach. What do you say to that?
Well, I think we've got to get the programme for government ratified first, and I hope it is ratified by the three parties so that next week that we can have a Taoiseach and have a cabinet in place.
Is that a possibility, though?
Well, look, I think really you're talking about renegotiating something or reviewing something. The programme will always be reviewed as you move along. What we've got to do is focus on delivering it, to be honest with you. You're asking me about something
like
that would happen
it's
not a no, actually. We've got to actually ratify this, and I hope that our colleagues in the Greens, I hope that Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael will actually ratify
this
programme.
Who's trying to get in, Owen?
Move on to putting a government together.
Cormac, just two points I want to make. There are thousands of public sector workers today who have to claim the family income supplement because their public pay is below the threshold that the state itself has set as an acceptable standard. So when there is a new public sector pay deal, it needs to do two crucial things. First of all, end low pay and make the state a living wage employer, particularly for those people who have risked their lives over the last number of weeks of the pandemic as frontline workers. And it has to deal with pay equalisation and pay inequality. But let me also say this, because twice Dara has asked me to answer the question, I'd like to answer it. What is the alternative? Here is the alternative. If members either of Fianna Fáil or the Green Party reject this deal over the coming weeks, Marilyn MacDonald will be picking up the phone in the first instance to the pro-change parties, the Greens, the Social Democrats, Labour and the other progressive smaller parties, to get back to what we were doing a number of weeks ago, which is to form a programme for government that genuinely reflects the agenda for change that we saw in the election.
Have you tried that
already?
Published a draft,
let me just make the next sentence. If Dara O'Brien or his party colleagues want to know what that looks like, then stop boycotting 24% of the electorate. Stop excluding our voters and come and talk to us if that's what you're interested in. There is an alternative. There is an alternative.
Quickly, Michael Fitzmaurice, yes or no? Carmel. Will you meet the triumvirate next week, early next week?
First of all, we got a text during the week that we'd be talking to us next week. We are talking tomorrow, Marion Harker, Michael McNamara and myself. Personally, I'll give you my straight view. With the wrangling that's going on at the moment and with the programme that I've read, I'd be very iffy about it. In my opinion, there was a simple solution for Fianna Fáil and Fine Gael there. There would be solid independents, enough of them, instead of now listening to the wrangling that's going on. And just one thing, Cormac, I also want, as from my constituency, let us all remember Detective Colm Horgan, who sadly got shot in our constituency in Castlereagh, and his family. I think we should remember them
today. Absolutely, and he's definitely, and his family are within our thoughts. Can I ask you finally, before we finish, Neasa Hourigan, very briefly, 20 Minister of State posts, will you accept one if you're given one, if the deal is done?
I think all of our members over the next weekend or the next 48 hours are reading this programme for government, and that's what they should be doing. And I don't think any of us should be thinking about ministries or whether you'd keep your seat or, you know, what might happen in the future. Just read the document and exclude all the noise and make the decision based on that. Because what we've heard today is that this document is actually quite focused on, you know, private enterprise as a way forward for the next 5 years. And people keep telling me that it's got green fingerprints throughout it, but it's green fingerprints on a very blue canvas.
Okay. Fokamadiga Shene, Muichas La Neasa Hourigan from the Green Party, Michael Fitzmaurice, Independent, Owen O'Brien of Sinn Féin, Richard Bruton of Fine Gael, and Dara O'Brien of Fianna Fáil. We might have a deal, a government next Saturday in a Taoiseach. If not, we'll have a different programme. Until then, Slán.
Saturday with Cormac O'Hara was produced by Mary O'Hagan. The broadcast coordinator was Doc Martin. Research was by Andrew Fleming. And on sound today, Jamie Doyle.